Skip Spence's Jeans. Ugly Things, 2003. After Altamont and the Manson murders, with the hot fat of the 60s congealing in a suddenly cold pan, I flew out to San Jose to visit a couple of acquaintances from D.C. They'd gone there intending to start a band. The one who did start a band was Little John, the original drummer for what became the Doobie Brothers. I had no idea what San Jose might be like. Otherwise, I wouldn't have gone there. After an initial horrific foray into what was left of the hate, I'd missed its heyday, whenever that might have been, I quickly retreated to San Jose. The Hate was a Burrosian cartoon, a few skeletal speed-driven life forms scuttling back and forth across streets that had been nuked by the methadrine bomb. San Jose, on the other hand, was the dullest blue-collar bohemia imaginable, an utterly style-free zone in which the local bikers displayed the nearest thing to panache. The pot came sprayed with PCP, the wrong kind of excitement. It was dull as ditch water, aside from being vaguely dangerous. So dull that I began to fear I'd get depressed enough to stay there. One evening, though, just at dusk, I went out for a stroll with Little John and two other denizens of what would later, after my departure, become Shea Doobie. A block or so from the house, an astonishing figure appeared. Tall, very handsome, and quite magically elegant, this apparition was introduced to me as Skip Spence, formerly of Moby Grape. His outfit was the single most perfect expression of country music hip I'd ever seen, and I've seen nothing to match it since. Nothing nudie about it, nothing flying burrito, but rather classic with a twist, rooted in the kind of hardcore rodeo esoterica I'd glimpsed a little of during my school years in Tucson. His jacket may have been Filson, the Seattle outfitter, something in a riding twill, but a Western business cut, not casual. Under this, he wore a white pinpoint Oxford Supima. These are always Supima, cotton Western business shirt, buttoned at the collar, no tie. His hat, well, I knew enough about cowboy hats to know that I knew nothing about them. But I guessed that this one was on a par with the rest of his outfit. He removed it while he spoke with us, holding it carefully and rather formally. His boots, I guessed, were not Tony Lama, but by someone whose clients could only smile patiently at the mention of Tony Lama. But between jacket and jeans stretched a long-legged vertical of dark indigo denim. And this is what made the strongest and most lasting impression. Skip Spence's jeans were perfect. As I stared at them, while he and the Doobies chatted gravely about studios and managers, I understood. They were a pair of Levi's, likely several sizes too large to begin with, which had been deconstructed, a seam at a time, then meticulously tailored, each seam perfectly re-sewn with the correct iodine tint thread. But not only did they fit him exquisitely, as perfectly as garment has ever fit man, they had been reconstructed, recontextualized, jacked out of blue denim mundania entirely into some unknown realm of Hispano-American, deeply Catholic romanticism. They fell over his boots without a break, by virtue of the fronts having been slit, the edges perfectly hemmed, and down front and back, creases had been sewn in. They would have to be dry cleaned, I decided, itself a novel concept then, when it came to jeans. He had all the style of someone from another and better planet in that working-class Northern California residential street. But I knew that I was experiencing star quality, and that he would have gone as easily off the scale on the King's Road. And then he said goodbye, and we walked on, and someone allowed quietly that Skip had a problem with heroin, and that there were problems with his label. But, they all agreed, he was a good guy, a very good guy indeed, and that he had promised to help them. And I imagine that he did. I never forgot him and the gift of his brave elegance, and it was only a year or so ago that I heard Orr for the first time. Skip Spence's album Orr is a fine and touching and deeply other thing. Offhand, my favorite example of quite clinically outsider art. It still amazes me that it took me decades to hear it.